Hi, I'm here backstage at the ABC in Glasgow with James Toseland. James, how are we doing?
I'm all right, thanks very much. You?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Good. Made it eventually.
Yeah, Friday traffic. Yeah, we got here early enough to miss it, luckily.
Yeah, I believe you.
We were in Bristol last night. We drove to Birmingham just to kind of break the back on it a little bit, but it was still, what, good five hours from Birmingham to here. So, but we had a pretty good run on a Friday.
Good stuff. The tour started off with some solo digs that you did yourself, and then you're obviously with Reef now. How have the dates been going so far?
Yeah, really good. Ours seem to be a little bit better planned on the old map than Reef's. We kind of went Southampton, Oxford, Leicester, Sheffield, and kind of did the old south to north. But with Reef, we did Bristol for the first one last night, which was fantastic. There was about 1,600 people in the audience, and it was rammed. And then we're up now in Glasgow. So. When there's only two or three of you that can drive the van, it's been a bit hectic. So we're definitely tired than yesterday, but you know, it's really nice. I've not been to Scotland for a long, long time, so it's really nice to be back here, up here, performing.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a good crowd today. It's a good crowd out there. I'm not sure if it's sold out today, but
busy though.
No, looks busy.
Yeah, I know the tickets have been going great for them. Obviously on the 20th anniversary tour. So yeah, it's just a. An honour and a pleasure to be supporting somebody so established and also on this kind of a stage, you know, to be able to be performing on these kind of stages with that amount of people listening. You know, I think hopefully we're going to do Reef a favour as well, hopefully bringing a few in ourselves, and you know, and we've been really enjoying watching them after the show as well.
Yeah, excellent. Earlier on in the year, you hit the download stage. Yeah. How did that one come about?
Well, the guy I wrote the songs with, Toby Jepson, is a big friend of Andy Coppins, who's the booking agent there for Download, and he rang him up and sent him the stuff, and he fell in love with the music, and he put us on. But it was like, I think it was our second gig ever, and all of a sudden we're on the Download stage, in you know, just before Duff McKagan, and I was a huge Guns N' Roses fan, and I'm thinking, you know, seeing my name and then his on the same stage on the same day, it was a bit overwhelming. It was an acoustic stage, you know.
Yeah.
We're earning the stripes at the moment. Keyboard packed in halfway through the song and all the rest of it, but it worked out great. It was, you know, obviously nerve wracking. I'd got Neil Warnock and Steve Strange, the agents at the back that I knew of, and so. It's we've got an amazing team around it. You know, we've got Steve Strange, Steve Zappa's agents, and Martin Tibbetts and Toby Jepson from Strange Wheel Management managing us now. Yeah. And we got the songs. I got the band. We got rehearsing. We got out there live, and I've got the management and agents around it now. So we're just, and obviously having the opportunity to play with Reef is you know, we're just trying to get working now.
Yeah. So far, release-wise, you've had a couple of singles out, Life is Beautiful and You and Renegade. Mm-hmm. How have they been going for you? I know there's been a lot of national coverage for them as well.
Amazing. Dove Batty, the press guy that does a lot of rock in the UK, is helping out on Renegade for us, and he's been a massive help. But the Life is Beautiful was literally just a release to give everybody an idea of what I'd been doing for the last 18 months on writing the songs. And Renegade was the first official single. But both went on the A-list of Planet Rock Radio. They've been the real champions for it from the start. And then Kerrang, XFM and Team Rock all kind of came on board with it. And I listened to Renegade in the car the other day, like one of the first times I'd actually heard it in the car.
Yeah.
And it seamlessly linked into Motorhead's new single. And I was like, wow, you know. Obviously to get on radio is very, very difficult these days. And, you know, just chuffed a bit to get the opportunity to allow for people to hear it.
Yeah. And the next stage, of course, is album release, which I think is March next year now.
March next year. Yeah, we're just done a deal with Pledge Music. We're basically, because I've got the album there and everything's ready to go, it's just trying to get the word out as much as possible to promote it coming up to the release of it. It's difficult to get deals these days, and I found it to be that way. So we're just trying to find every avenue really to promote it on this coming out. Pledge Music's been doing such a good job at the moment. So it's not really to raise money for the album, which is a normal thing for Pledge. It's actually just raising some money for, to keep the show on the road, you know, and keep it touring and all the rest of the expenses that it is to go actually touring to put it on the road. But so it's going really well. I think it's over 60% already, and over 220 sales on the album so far. So it's only been up for about 1 week. So it's going great.
Yeah, I mean, Pledge Music is something that interests me because it's, it seems to be a route a lot of bands are going down now. How big a help is that for upcoming bands now?
Well, it, as I say, it is really, really difficult to get some support from the labels these days, unless you're kind of selling over 5,000 copies, really, you know. They're not taking many risks on up-and-coming bands, and it's a shame. It's really difficult for everybody. But, you know, when you've got people like Slash and everybody doing campaigns on Pledge and, you know, and the credibility now that Pledge has got, it's a great platform with their database to get it out there.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned Toby's involvement in the album as well. How big a help has he been in mentoring you through the early stages?
Well, he's everything, really. You know, I was introduced to him after I had to retire from my old job, and I knew I wanted to write a rock album. And, you know, I was so fortunate to find somebody that wrote and had the same passion for the music that I was wanting to create, and that's where it all started from. He gave me a song called Just No Way that he had for 10 years, and he said, okay, go and play that and sing, come back and sing that to me, and let's see what we can do, because he had no idea about motorsport, he had no idea who I was, and he was a bit sceptical about the whole thing at first. And I went away and I came back and played and sang that song he gave me, and luckily he was pleasantly surprised. And he went, well, you know, we can really do something here, you know. So, and that's where it all started. And then from that, we started writing a few tracks and putting demos down. And I could see him getting more and more excited. And then he was mentioning, oh, I'm going to ring him up now. I'm going to ring him. And I'm thinking, oh, you know. And for him to actually pick up the phone to his friends and acquaintances in the industry to help out and be involved in this was a massive compliment. With his, you know, with his experience and his you know. How big the Angels were, you know. It's it was really nice of him because he picked the phone up to Steve Strange, because Steve Strange had worked with him in the past, and all these people were kind of wanting to get involved with the recommendations and the confidence that they had in Toby, that they would, they had confidence in Toby's recommendation, and, and that goes a long way in this industry.
Good. Now, obviously, you mentioned the previous career there, double Superbike world champion. Who does going on stage to a crowd like a crowd tonight compared to sitting in the pole position for one of the Superbike races, are they comparable, or is that a different rush?
It's easy with a helmet on because you can't see anybody.
That's the point of the eyes.
Exactly, yeah. And that is the pretty much the same thing, you know. It's very, very similar in some ways, you know. Yeah. There's the pressure there, there's the nerves, you want it to go right. It could go horribly wrong at any moment, just like racing can, and that keeps the concentration up. And you know, there's the expectation there, because I used to have over 100,000 people watching some races that I was in, and you felt the expectation, especially at a British race, that you've got to deliver for them. But the expectation, I think, is more intense when it comes to being on stage and everybody looking at you.
Because
they look at you all through the gig. At racing, you only have it just before the lights go out, and then you flash past them at 200 miles an hour, you can't see anybody, you know, so it doesn't matter. But it's certainly more intense on stage, but you know, one I'm really, really enjoying, because it gives me that similar tingle of you know, let's get we've got to get the job done.
And of course, when you were doing your Superbikes, you're also playing with Crash at that time as well, so
Good experience, you know, just stage presence and actually like getting used to nerves before a show. It was good homing. A really good fun. We were playing just classics, you know, covers, and you know, very easy, I found, because to perform things that everybody just loves and sings along with you is much easier than presenting new material.
Exactly,
you know, to get them to connect. So it's been a different world, actually, you know. But it's been so nice with the radio play, because all of a sudden now we're getting quite a few people singing along to Life is Beautiful, Renegade, and the songs on the EP, and that's a real nice moment once that starts.
Start getting the people singing back to you.
It's a bit of a rush. Download was the first time, actually.
Yeah.
You know, when the keyboard packed in and all the rest of it, and I don't know, I think everybody just thought, oh, we need to help this kid out. they all start singing. I was like, wow, you know, they know the words to my songs, you know, and it's a real moment.
The one thing I never realised, but I found out when I was doing the research for coming in tonight was you got married last year to mm-hmm. Katie Mellor.
I did.
Has she been a help to your career, or is she just letting you forge your own path and find your own mistakes?
It's really, really funny because I retired from racing. She knew enough about me as a racer. I was injured when I met her, so she only saw me for a couple of races, trying to come back and realising I had to retire. So that was a tough time. And she was a real rock to me, you know, once I, because I announced when I was retiring, I had to retire with her. So so that's why we got so close so quickly, I suppose. But her experience and her professionality and where she is in the industry, in the music industry, has really helped actually understanding the actual, this industry, the business side of it, for sure. Her music's completely different, obviously. So there's no comparison, which is nice between us. But I remember saying that I want to write a rock album. I want to be a performer. I want to sing, and I actually remember her, even as my girlfriend, I think at the time, she actually went nodded, and I could see in her eyes that she was like, enjoying the cupo, and it was so nice. She came last night to Bristol, and she's just left on tour, and she hugged me last night, and she just whispered in my ear, "Keep on doing it. It's coming, you know." And that was a big moment for her, because There ain't no bullshit with my missus, you know. She might look sweet and innocent, but when she says something, she means it. And that was a real compliment.
Yeah.
I know she's my missus, but I respect her so much as a musician. You know, for her to say that to me was a massive compliment.
Yeah. So who gets preference at the piano at the home then?
Well, I'm the piano player in the couple. She's a guitarist.
Yep.
She does play, but I've got the upper hand on the piano, but she's a lovely guitar. I don't really play guitar, so she's a lovely guitar player.
Yeah.
And it's my piano, so...
Does it surprise people when they find out that you are a piano player rather than, you know, a guitarist or something like that? Or...
I had that stigma when I was racing, you know. I remember a massive banner being one at the tracks, you know, Neil Hodgson, the old world champion. Neil Hodgson's no pianist, he's a world champion. And like, obviously, people thought... Because I play the piano, I won't have the aggression or the balls to actually, you know, succeed in that job. And it was nice to show people that, you know, the Billy Elliots can can kind of conquer, you know. And but it's not the rock and roll kind of instrument that you bring. But you know, I am playing rock on the keys in on this album, and it gives it an interesting twist.
Yeah, I believe it was your grandmother that taught you who to play.
Yeah, originally. My mum divorced when I was really young, so we lived with my grandparents. Yeah. And with her playing, that got the fascination going.
What's your future plans? Obviously, you've got the tour just now, the album coming out next year. Is it just another round of whirlwind touring and promotion for the foreseeable?
Hopefully doing a tour just to promote the launch of the album. I'm also breaking the land speed record on a motorcycle next year and trying to be the first person to go over 400 miles an hour in Bonneville in September. Yeah. The pledge fund at the moment, the kitty that hopefully that will form, that'll take, hopefully I'm trying to take the band to South by Southwest in Texas.
Right.
That's the biggie at the moment, that's the big plan. And I'm hoping Andy Coppin, with what we did at on the acoustic stage, he might let us plug in next year and at Download. So if that kind of all happens with South by Southwest and the album launch and Download and other things that could possibly all come in, all of a sudden the year is going to be pretty full soon. Yeah. So, but it's going to be an exciting year for sure.
Yeah, and especially the world record attempt as well. Where is that happening? Is that
on the Salt Flats in Bonneville, near Salt Lake City? Yeah. So it's the record's 376 miles an hour. It's been since 1933 or 1934, I think, since a British guy did it. So, it's a Rolls Royce helicopter engine and an 8.5 meter chassis motorcycle. And on paper, it'll do 450 miles an hour, but we'll see.
Yeah. See what it's like in salt rather than paper.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, we're testing it here in May, I think, for the first time, just on the runway here.
Yeah.
But obviously, we haven't got the land far enough to really develop it. So, soon we'll take it over there as soon as we start developing it seriously.
Well, thanks very much for having a chat with us, James. It's been great, and I hope everything goes well for you with the album and the tour, and of course the world record attempt.
Thanks very much.